Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on Cyclesman.com. Welcome back to the show, Tim.
Jim, thanks as always for having me.
Tim, the U.S. economic growth not as robust as expected. It was in the 1+ percent range. They expected over 3% for the first quarter. That's one of the reasons being given for stocks coming down, but can we trust those numbers, and were they ever as good as the government said they were?
Well, I don't personally trust any of the numbers. I give you an example. Back in, I think I have the quote right here, let me find it, is in March. There was an announcement, the Fed said that the job gains have remained strong and the unemployment rate has remained low. And what I had found looking at the raw data is that going back to 1949, there has been 13 downturns of the growth rate the employment growth rate below the zero line, and 100% of those have been associated with the recession. So that data, when you look at it, is a complete contradiction to what they said. And then looking at it from the other side of the fence, the unemployment rate, what I found is that every time the unemployment growth rate went above the zero line, it had been associated with a recession, but every recession had been associated with such a decline. And what I also found looking at that data is that the 2000, the 2007, and the 2020 tops were all associated with upturns of the unemployment growth rate moving above the zero line. And going back for just a second, the employment growth rate has not moved below the zero line at this point, but it's very, very close. So my point is, in digressing to that, is that's just an example of, I don't know if you can trust anything, but yeah, that did appear to be a disappointing number for what it's worth.
And, of course, they come up with these numbers initially saying these are estimates, and then a month or two later, oh, these are the real numbers, and they're always worse than what they announced.
Of course, and then nobody looks at the number, and it doesn't matter then. So that's another game that they play, of course, yes.
Now, another phenomena I seem to have seen is, economically, things are happening about a month earlier than usual. So there's that old saying, sell in May, go away. But is it really sell in April? And there's nothing that rhymes with that conveniently that I can think of that's decent to say on air. And is that what's happening? Things that usually happen in November happened in September or October. Are we in kind of a speeded up cycle?
I don't know that I don't see it in that light from my perspective. And let me explain, looking at cycles, we had in my world, there were a clustering of cycle lows back last October, and we've turned up out of that low. There was a longer term, a little bit longer than what I call intermediate term. Then there was an intermediate term. And of course there were some short term cycles. They all bottomed there. And we turned up, but looking at it from kind of the medium cycle, intermediate term cycle low, this upturn had stretched. It was very, very stretched into the March high, and it was due. I had timing for it to be the late side of the timing for that cycle low to occur was this month in April. So as I look at it, this was just a decline into that low. I don't know that that low is in yet. It should ideally be in. There may be another push down into that low, but from my perspective, this is just an intermediate term low, and I don't think this is the. I don't think this. If you're asking if the top is in, I don't think so. Not yet. You know, just like last August, we didn't have all of the, or I didn't have all of my DNA markers to call it a top. You know, of you know, long-term meaningful top, and I think the same thing here. You know, I have seen there are a few boxes I can check at this point, but I do not think that we've seen a top of longer degree at this time.
Do you think interest rates will come down this year? Because now I'm seeing this thing where some traders think they won't bring rates down until December.
Well, yeah, I think rates, this I've done some studies on that. I've been talking about that and publishing research on that in recent research letters. This plateau period, when I say plateau period, I have known based on my interest rate models that, you know, this entire, and we've talked about this before, but this entire rate hiking cycle was fabricated. And without digressing too far down that rabbit hole, is it was part of the reinflation with the supply chain shortages and that sort of thing to keep this bubble going, and they had to get some ammo back in their in their magazine, if you will, with raising rates so that whenever we turn back down, they can cut rates again. And there's, you know, everything's multifaceted, but anyway, I've proven beyond a shadow of a doubt looking at the model that this interest rate hiking cycle was fabricated. And now looking at it, statistically, this plateau period since the last hike last year, it has run long. It's not abnormally long, but it's running long. And then looking at the chain of events that tend to happen once that plateau period occurs into the first cut, that's starting to run a little long, still well within the norm, but some of the things we need to see have not happened yet. So, I think that the rate hiking cycle is over. I think there are cuts in the future, and I suspect the cuts will come probably, you know, I mean, I'm guessing, I got to see what I got to see with the model, but I think that, you know, my hunch is that we'll see them probably in the summer. Now, what I think is happening from the Fed's perspective, from a jawbone perspective, is that they don't want to cut. And that is why we're hearing them say, if you'll think back earlier in the year, they were saying, oh, it's going to be June. And now we get to June, and they're saying, oh, it's going to be September. And now, you know, the further we get down the road, the further they want to try to push it. And I think that is an effort to try to talk the market into holding that short-term rate higher so that they're not forced to cut. But once the short-term, you know, the three-month and six-month and starts to turn back down, it'll eventually force the Fed to cut.
Now, when we take a look at what the actual rates are, they're kind of what people would call normal historically, aren't they?
Yeah, I would go along with that. That's you know, that's probably a fair statement.
Mm-hmm. In other words, enough to encourage people who want to save money, but not too high to discourage investment. And did we become addicted to low interest rates over the last 20 years?
Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. And I was about to say that. When you look at it, you know, on a long-term basis, yes, this is more of a norm, but after 20 years of the rates that we've seen, yes, of course, 100%, no doubt about that.
Now, of course, that meant with low rates, people bought real estate that in reality they really shouldn't have. Is that the case?
Well, I would agree with that too, 100%. People probably bought real estate they shouldn't have bought in any case. You know, I can cite examples that I see of people, they think linearly. Everybody thinks that real estate's just going to go up and up and up and up and up, and that this is a norm. And you know what you could vault for, you know, $300,000 10 years ago is now $600 or $750 or whatever. And so, you know, hey, I can invest now, and you know, that's the thinking. And people don't realize the abnormal bubble that we're in. And, you know, I've talked about that. This is this entire sixth economic cycle has been on the back of the Fed's manipulative efforts to try to reinflate and keep this thing from turning down. That, you know, it started in the 2002 low, and we've seen two attempts now, the 07 high downturn and then the 2020 downturn. And now, you know, the stimulus the post-COVID stimulus has basically run its course, and here we are trying to set up again, I think. We're not there yet, but when we turn down, I think real estate and everything else is going to go with it.
And, of course, with AI coming on, that means the need for fewer office workers, doesn't it?
I don't know. I don't know if I buy into the AI thing or not. That's outside of my wheelhouse. You know, I had a friend looking at some AI stuff, and he was showing me how cool the app was that he was looking at, and he would Google, you know, basically my thinking, listen, I'm low tech when it comes to stuff like that. And as I see it, I had him do some searches on some topics, and as I see it, it was nothing more than a fancy Google search. I mean, it told you what they wanted to tell you. It wasn't necessarily factual.
Well, so, that's the whole deal with AI. It makes stuff up. A lawyer in Vancouver used AI to find precedents in legal cases. It made them up. The judge was not happy about that.
Right. And so I think it's a new level. That's exactly right. And my thinking is it's just a new level. Everybody says, oh, it's AI, so it's, you know, it's right. Well, you know, it's like the old saying, garbage in, garbage out. So I don't see it any different, like I said, than a fancy Google search.
We'll have more with Tim Cyclesman Wood right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Cyclesman Wood. Tim, is gold rallying and will it continue?
Yes, gold. We had a 9-year cycle low in gold back in 22, I believe it was. And obviously gold has been strong. It's been up, no doubt about it. This rally will continue until you know, I get evidence of the 9-year cycle top. Now, my expectation is that this rally is in conjunction with what I suspect will be a left-translated 9-year cycle top. In other words, it'll be a truncated 9-year cycle top. Maybe that's not the right word either. It'll be a short-lived advance into the 9-year cycle top. In other words, when I say 9-year cycles, I'm talking about the cycle is measured from low to low, and I'm saying it's going to peak way before the center point, and that it's a last push with commodities in general up into a major high that I think will leave gold set up along with, you know, commodities in general to turn down out of this long-term economic cycle once we get the proper setup with everything in place. So for now, yes, gold has obviously been strong in the short term. We should be at or very near an intermediate degree top. And then from there, have to see if that top, that is an opportunity for it to be a higher degree top. Don't know if it is or not yet, but it's the opportunity. I need to see what happens with this intermediate term top. If it evolves further, you know, toward the direction of a longer term top, or if there's another intermediate term cycle up, too early to tell that yet. But in the short term, intermediate term top, and longer term, I think, you know, gold is pushing up, like I said, to set up with this downturn out of this longer-term economic cycle later this year.
What's going on with crude?
Same thing. Exactly the same thing. Pretty much all of the commodities, I believe, are in, you know, the same sort of cyclical pattern. We had a 3-year cycle low in the CRB last year. Crude oil tends to follow that cycle pretty much. And while crude oil has been strong as well, a couple of weeks ago now, there was an intermediate, I had an intermediate degree sell signal. And this is an opportunity, again, for a higher degree turn in crude oil. I don't know if that higher degree term is going to bite yet, but intermediate term top, and overall, I think ending push into a higher, much higher degree top. And then once this long-term economic cycle sets up, that's the thing that people are missing. You know, we have short memories. You know, you look back to, you know, the downturn. You know, you go back to the downturn out of in 2000 and then 2007 and even 2020. You know, everything goes down together. People tend to forget that.
Tim, is gold a good hedge against inflation?
Well, sure, but it's not going to be a good hedge against the deflation, and that's the portion that people are missing.
Anything else we should be keeping a close eye on?
That's pretty much it. I don't have a lot. Looking at equities, I think we're at or nearing an intermediate degree low, maybe another push down, and then I'm looking for another run up to which I think we'll probably, or in my world, I'll probably start to see the setup for something of a more meaningful top with another intermediate term advance. And then overall, as we move into the fall and late summer toward the election type thing, I think that we could get to a point where things could get real interesting with a more meaningful top and a setup to turn down out of this long-term economic cycle. And to put that in perspective real quick, like I said, I've talked about this in numerous interviews. I don't mean to beat a dead horse with it, but it's important. It's the most important thing we could be watching, and it's important for people to understand this. That, you know, looking back to 1800, I've identified six long-term economic cycles. The fifth one peaked in 2000 with the dot-com bubble, and it was coming out of the 02 low. That with all of the liquidity and manipulation and so forth that started there to bridge the gap, that this sixth economic cycle was born. The whole thing has been fueled on the back of Fed intervention, and it's tried to peak twice. The first time was 07. It resulted in the housing crisis that everybody has forgotten. Remember the subprime thing? Remember it was dubbed, what they called it, the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. And coming out of that low, we saw the intervention and the spending, another I think $13 trillion that time to push us up into the 2020 top. And then we saw the decline out of that, and then so that was a second attempted downturn out of the sixth economic cycle, another $13 trillion, and here we sit. And we're now that stimulus is basically waning. We're seeing that with the employment numbers. When you look under the hood, like I mentioned earlier, we're seeing it with some of the other data, M2 data, et cetera, et cetera. Stock market's holding up. It keeps the cattle calm. But overall, I think we're pushing into one hell of a setup, but we're not there yet.
I love that saying, keeps the cattle calm.
It keeps the cattle calm. Just wait. Just wait till the stampede starts. It'll be too late.
Tim, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. If you have any questions for Tim or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.